What's up? It's Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Under the Hood podcast presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Under the Hood. Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 7 right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Coming up at 8:20, we will hear from the great Paul Feinbaum. Covers college football for ESPN and the SEC Network. We'll get his thoughts on what is going on with college football. Will it be on time? Will there be college football in the spring? We will hear from Paul Feinbaum coming up at 8:20 right here on ESPN 1000. Also, Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between that comes your way at 8:30. But if it's 8 o'clock and it's Under the Hood, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock Under the Hood, I know. Do you know what's coming up now? Oh, it's the summertime, too. Let me look outside. Yes, it's summertime. It is, my friends. The summer of football.
The summer of football.
All you can ask for is another opportunity to play this game. It burns in me.
On ESPN 1000.
We don't know how many we got. I don't know how many I got. Make it count, boys.
Mahomes flushed out again. Turning the corner. Fires downfield. Caught. Touchdown. Only Mahomes.
You throw to score. You run to win.
Here's Saquon Barkley. And he's off to the races. The 30. The 20.
The summer of football at 8.
Here's a quick throw to Miller. Good throw. Touchdown. Fake to Armstrong. Run. Book 5. Book to the end zone. Touchdown. In book.
Burrow's got time. Launching for the end zone. Jump ball. Touchdown. Terrence Marshall.
The summer of football with Jonathan Hood.
Yeah. That's my dog.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
My friends, it's the summer of football right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Oh boy, as I mentioned, every single weeknight at 8 o'clock, we give you something football, something fantasy, something NFL, something college, give you something NFL, something college, something fantasy. You never know what you're going to get from summer of football. Tonight, we look at a list. Oh, I love tiers and I love a list when it comes to the NFL. So it came out today, NFL Insiders. And by the way, this got Waddle fired up more than I thought it would. Oh, man. I mean, he was fired up about the piece from ESPN.com. You can go to your app, go to your phone and see NFL Future Power Rankings projections for all 32 teams for the next 3 years. So the NFL Insiders, to project which NFL franchises are the best, are in the best shape for the next three seasons, we asked our panel of experts, Jeremy Fowler, Louis Riddick, Seth Walder, and Field Yates, to rate each team's quarterback, remaining non-quarterback roster, draft, front office, and coaching using this scale. 100 is A+, 90 is A, 80 is B to very good. 70 is C to average, which I'm very familiar with from my days in school. D is 60, very bad. And 50 and below is an F, disastrous. After averaging the results from the panelists, each of the five categories was weighted to create the overall score. Roster, 30%. Quarterback, 20%. Draft, 15%. Front office, 15%, and coaching, 20%. So, this is right up my alley. To evaluate, as I always say, if you're listening to me for the first time, it's always good to evaluate your favorite team against the rest. when it comes to the Bears, you evaluate the Bears not only against the Packers, but against the Lions, the Vikings, and everything else in the NFC, and then the rest of the National Football League, because that's the only way that you have perspective. If you're only focused on the Bears and the Packers, it's a myopic view. You'll never understand what's hot in the NFL, because very rarely the Bears are that hot team in the National Football League. So, and I opened this up, and I cracked this open, the future power rankings the next 3 years, because it tells a great story, right? The NFL is about here and now, but it also is about your future. The number one team on this list was the Baltimore Ravens at an 89.4 score. 89.4 is between very good and great, almost great. And what they talk about, and I want to be able to lay this out so you can understand where the Bears are. For overall roster, they get a number three ranking across the NFL. Quarterback, three with Lamar Jackson. The coaching of five with Harbaugh. The draft, number three in front office, number one. Number one for front office. The Kansas City Chiefs, who just won the Super Bowl, at number two. You take a look at what they have with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. You see what they are from a coaching standpoint with Andy Reid with number two rank. The draft was 10, front office four. The San Francisco 49ers, just in the Super Bowl, fell short. Number one as far as overall roster minus the quarterback. Their 12th rank with the quarterback. Coaching four, draft four, front office was a seventh ranked overall. But they're number three. So the upper echelon teams the next 3 years, Ravens, Chiefs, 49ers. Saints are fourth in this list. Cowboys are fifth over the next 3 years, which I find interesting that the Cowboys are fifth in this list. So you move forward, and you get to the Eagles, the Steelers, the Seahawks, the Buccaneers, and the Colts. That rounds out your top 10. Good night, everybody. So long, Eric. That's it.
But wait.
Oh, no.
What about our lovable Bears?
Oh, okay. So I have to scroll down because I got to find the Titans at 11. And, you know, that's a good spot for the Titans. They solidified their quarterback and their quarterback and their running back in Tannehill, as well as Derrick Henry. So that's solidified from a contract standpoint. You get to Minnesota. Now, there's your first NFC North team, right? So out of all these teams, the next 3 years, the Vikings are number 12 on this list with Zimmer. Who knows if Zimmer's going to be there in 3 years? But the point is that both sides of the football, pretty solid, including Kirk Cousins as an above-average quarterback. The Patriots are 13th. Even though this polling took place prior to Cam Newton signing, people still gave Belichick the benefit of the doubt at 13. Bills at 14. Packers are 15th on this list. So they were 12th in the overall roster, NFL rank, minus the quarterback. Their quarterback ranking was 7th, coaching 18th with LaFleur, 28 in the draft, and 14 in front office. So there's your Packers at 15. Browns 16 the next 3 years. Chargers 17. Rams 18. The Las Vegas Raiders 19. And the Falcons are tied for 20th with the Miami Dolphins. All right, so Eric, what are we doing next here as
boy.
We go through? What?
So, boy, we're 20 through here, huh?
Oh, I got to keep going. Okay, I see what you're saying. You're telling me to keep going.
Yeah, I'm trying okay. to find where my Bears are at on this list. We're already 20 deep.
Well, now before I even get there, right? So in 3 years, you know, Dolphins are at the bottom, right? And so as I always tell you, you can be at the top of the heap like Kansas City or at the bottom like Miami, but you know your direction. But when you're middle, it sucks, right? So those are the top 20 I just gave you. Now, let me get to the Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are 22nd on this list. Texans are 23rd. That says a lot for Bill O'Brien and for Deshaun Watson. I find that interesting. Their front office is ranked 32nd, dead last in the NFL, by the way. 24 is the Broncos. 25, there's your Lions right there. Lions, 25th in the front office, 28th overall rank minus the quarterback as far as their overall roster. 10th of the quarterback with Stafford. 30th in coaching. 13th in the draft. Washington, no nickname, just Washington. 26th, and you have no idea what that is in 3 years. You don't know if Haskins is going to be the man or not under Ron Rivera. We will find out, but they're 26th in this list. Bengals are 27th on this list. The Jets are 28th on this list. The Giants are 29th. That's bad for New York when the Jets and Giants in the next 3 years are going to be crap. But that's how it is on this list the next 3 years. And number 30 is the Carolina Panthers. All right. All right, coming up next.
There's I believe there's what, 32 teams in the NFL?
Oh.
So we got two more teams and we still haven't gotten to the Bears.
I didn't say the Bears yet?
No, somehow we're at 30, I believe, and we're not there yet.
I was pitching to Feinbaum there. I beg your pardon. 31st, Eric, the Chicago Bears.
Yikes.
You know what? Let me tell you something. If I wanted to cover the Jaguars as an NFL team, I would pack my bags and live in Jacksonville. This is just based on opinion. But when you look at what has been written here on ESPN.com, the overall roster minus Trubisky or Foles is 20th. The quarterback is 31st as far as their NFL rank, 22nd in coaching, 32nd in the draft. This is looking at you, Ryan Pace, 30th in the front office. According to Phil Yates, the Bears enter the 2020 with a quarterback competition in their hands with Foles and Trubisky, will vie for their starting duties. Being ranked this low is not a reflection of where the team probably will finish in 2020. There is enough reason to think that Chicago can hang around a while in the NFC North with good quarterback play, but a reflection on some recent major personnel decisions. GM Ryan Pace handpicked Trubisky and has been very heavy-handed at times in free agency. Jimmy Graham mortgaged the draft capital for a win-now approach. The biggest worry from Lewis Riddick, many things are in place in Chicago, solid coaching staff, strong defense, improved skill position players, and offensive line that has some good pieces to improve. But the quarterback competition will decide the fate of this franchise. Fowler talks about this one's pretty simple. The quarterbacks on the roster are not guaranteed to be long-term answers. And Waldler says Foles cap hit. Listen to this. I don't want to just glaze over this. Foles' cap hit is more than six times what New England will pay Cam Newton this year.
Six times. Yikes.
Now, and of course, Jacksonville's 32nd. But here's the thing, Eric. If your future is 31st, the 31st best team in the NFL, that means that somehow you're just going to have to rebuild. And you can't do that in the NFL. Like, I'm against Jacksonville, who got rid of their pieces. You can do that in baseball if you want, Miami Marlins. You can do that if you want in the NBA, Bulls or whatever team, Suns, Sacramento. But you can't do that in the National Football League. You cannot rebuild on the fly like that. And the strength always, traditionally, is the Bears' defense. Offensively speaking, if the Bears underachieve this year, the next couple of years, once again, that's a bad look for Ryan Pace, and also a bad look of a team that just once again cannot find that quarterback. I mean, there are teams that are struggling, like the Jets and the Giants, that have their quarterback in place. They just have to be able to build around that quarterback. But with the Bears, the win-now approach, you like the aggressiveness, but if you are aggressive and you fail to reach your goal of getting to the Super Bowl or winning it, then tomorrow's not promised. And a perfect example of that is 12-4 a couple of years ago, 8-8 this year, where you have slippage defensively, where you don't have the smoke and mirrors of the offensive playbook from Nagy in year one, and now here you are in this upcoming season. Who knows? This is why they're ranked 31st, Eric, is because the great unknown. Foles is not the long-term answer, neither is Trubisky. And so the most important position on the field, quarterback, if you don't have a young person in place, someone that is going to take the franchise for the future, then this is what you get. You got a good defense and Robinson and not a lot of weapons around him. And that's a problem for any team in the NFL.
The reason I don't necessarily, as much as it sucks, the reason I don't necessarily disagree with them being damn near the bottom of the NFL in this is in 3 years from now, it's very realistic to say that they'll have a new quarterback, a new head coach, and a new GM. Because in those three, in the next year or two, if those three don't turn things around, I don't see them staying here. So then it's just a big question mark. Then it goes, what is this team? That defense that's been dominant is going to be older. Hicks is going to be older.
Yeah.
Trevathan's going to be older. Like, it's going to age the defense. So in these 3 years, if they don't make it happen, that's when they're going to start tapering off as well.
And like Mac will be gone.
Yep.
like all the key components defensively will be gone. And then what? Remember, the defense is the strength of the team. We could look at the top 10 players on this roster for the Bears and pick out seven guys at the very least defensively. But again, those guys don't score. Okay, you're not special on special teams, so you don't have like a Hester to make up some of your issues offensively. And so when Allen Robinson is maybe the 10th best wide receiver in the NFL, that's one component, but someone's got to get him the ball. And who's on the other side? And so you get Kmet as a tight end, and he has to grow in that position. But Kmet is not the reason why you're going to get to the Super Bowl. He can't be the only reason. It's got to be other weapons around. The running game with Montgomery, the jury's still out there. But all of that is wrapped up in the quarterback. There was a time, Eric, that you could just be able to have a below-average quarterback to just hand the ball off or throw five-yard passes and just let the talent run for itself. A lot of talent over the years back in the day would just be able to kind of mask the issues you'd have with a quarterback. But you can't do that today.
Look at the 49ers did a pretty good job on covering up Garoppolo's warts. And the way they did that is Kyle Shanahan is the most creative run design in the league. And we saw last year with a quarterback who has even more warts than Garoppolo, Nagy couldn't create any semblance of a run game at all. So if they had above average run game with that defense, they would compete for the division. But there's no proof right now that Nagy can do that.
But then the line sucks.
That too. And the line is average at best. That's a stretch.
I mean, JD says like they need to change the entire line. He doesn't believe in anybody on the line. That says a lot. Like we can blame it, put it all at Trubisky's feet, but also the offensive line has not been strong enough. So just, the square peg in the round hole with the Kansas City playbook with guys that are not from Kansas City. That's simply what it is. Think of all those teams I mentioned. All those teams. There's teams in the middle. There's teams that are rebuilding. There's teams that are bridesmaids that will never be able to get to the top, like the Cowboys or the Steelers, possibly. I don't think Roethlisberger's going to win another championship. Or Carson Wentz, who played with accountants and garbage men offensively, and they still were able to get to where they need to be. Why? Because of scheme. And look at the Bears. 31st. That's the worst poll I've ever seen the Bears in. 31st. Down there with Jacksonville. if I wanted to cover the NFL team in Jacksonville, I would get property in Duval County. This is crazy. Oh, that's pretty bad. But this is, I mean, again, it's an opinion. And I know it probably hurt Lewis Riddick's heart because I know he loves the Bears so much. But this is what it is. It's not great. Paul Feinbaum on the future for college football. Will we have it this season, this year? Find out next on UTH.
You're listening to Under the Hood.
Get the ESPN Chicago app for podcasts and the live stream from anywhere. Download in the App Store today.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
If you're kinky, we got something for you for Tales from the Hood coming up in our next half hour here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget the baseball show presented by Goose Island Beer Company, by the way. At 6 o'clock every night after Waddle and Sylvie, I'm on with the baseball show, taking your calls in the Cubs and Sox. And tomorrow at 6. It's going to be lit. I know Sox fans are going to come in chesty, especially with the Sox leading 5-0 in their exhibition game against the Cubs. It's going to be interesting. So we'll have our show as we do every night after Waddle and Sylvie, the baseball show. You can follow along on Twitter at ESPN MLB Show. We're in the middle of our summer football segment, and Jeff Dickers and I got a chance to talk to the voice of college football, Paul Feinbaum from SEC Network and ESPN, joined us to talk about what college football could look like this upcoming fall.
Jonathan, college sports just all over the map. You've got the Big Ten and Pac-12 going to play conference-only games in football. No word yet from the SEC. Ivy League has canceled their fall sports. A-10, Patriot League have all canceled their fall sports. Seems like everyone has some different agendas here. It's great to bring on Paul Feinbaum from the SEC Network, also host of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Paul, thank you so much for giving us some time. Should there be someone at the NCAA level to step in and take control here and set some blanket policy instead of all these conferences doing what they want to do by themselves?
Well, theoretically, there should be, but many, many years ago, the NCAA lost control of college football. It was a famous Supreme Court case, not to go into it in great detail. But as a result of that, college football gained independence, and currently, which is where we are right now, the five Power Five commissioners run college football. And interestingly, the NCAA has virtually no authority other than governance, meaning they control eligibility questions. They can sanction some bowl game in the Philippines, but they really have no say whatsoever in perhaps the most important decision in the history of college football, and that's whether to play the 2020 season.
Paul, what is the likelihood in our lifetime that we're going to see the Power Five secede from the NCAA? We're seeing it in some ways now, but when do you think it'll ever happen officially?
I think soon, very soon. And I think what we're going through right now could be the ultimate tipping point. However this ends up, I think the friction between the Power Five and the NCAA has never been higher, and they are so fractured right now that I think once all of this settles, and by the way, what I mean by that is whatever happens this season is going to impact college athletics for some time, especially if there isn't a season from an economic standpoint. So I think once everybody catches their breath, I think you'll see a move, because the NCAA has been a complete disaster on some of the most critical issues, especially the name, image, and likeness debate. That they have resisted that. There's a continual move to professionalize college football, especially now when you have players out there risking a great deal. And for what? It's not like the NBA where you're making $30 million a year and you catch COVID. Well, it's too bad. Hopefully you'll be okay, but you are getting compensated. These young people are not getting compensated anything, and they're risking considerable amounts. So I think could be a year or two, but I think at some point you're going to see a big bang effect of college athletics, and the NCAA will may still be in existence, but it won't be with the big guys.
Paul Feinbaum's with us on Dickerson and Hood. It's ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Paul, could Mark Emmert do anything to restore faith in the NCAA?
No. It's funny you asked me that. It's interesting. During the pandemic, the one thing he did, he canceled not only the NCAA basketball tournament, but spring sports, which he had no choice. After Rudy Gobert, everybody was canceling. It wasn't like he did anything brave. And beside that, he literally has not been seen. He came up for air Thursday night, and issued this bogus statement about things are not looking good. It reminded me of the groundhog on February 2nd, sticking his head out for 15 seconds and dropping off a statement whether spring would be coming in 6 weeks or longer. And I think he's really been damaged by it. I know I've spoken to every Power Five commissioner during this pandemic, and while they don't say it directly, they do insinuate it. And probably the most interesting comment came up Thursday in a conversation we had with Mac Brown at North Carolina. He said what many have said prior, but no one is of his ilk, saying college football needs a commissioner. It needs a czar. It needs someone to take control, because there is absolutely no effort, no faith any longer in Mark Emmert. And I mean, this is president of the NCAA is a powerful position. It's the most powerful position in intercollegiate athletics. And the fact that he has been so ineffective and powerless during this crisis speaks to not only his worth, but the worth of the position itself.
Paul, when you're asking some college football coaches things outside of college football, sometimes the quotes become a little clunky. It's not about X's and O's. It's not about recruiting. So it's not perfect. But I thought it was interesting to hear from Ed Orgeron, the LSU coach, as he talked to Vice President Pence and says that we need football, I guess meaning we need college football. Do you feel the same way? Do we need football during this COVID-19?
I don't feel that strongly about it, and I'm someone whose program primarily lives and dies off of college football. I think we need some semblance of sanity here, but at what cost? And I think that's to be determined. It goes back to the debate going on right now. Why do we have professional golf and NASCAR and the NBA and MLB? Because these are professionals, and I still think we have to cross that bridge at some point very soon, whether or not it's worth young people to risk whatever they're going to risk. And by the way, I don't know what it is. And every doctor has a different opinion. And by the way, every commissioner and every coach has a different protocol. And that's why college football, to me, is so complicated. It's, you know, the NBA has laid it out what they need to do. They also have $150 million to build the bubble. And college football doesn't have that. Now, does Alabama have it? Does Notre Dame? Sure, they can afford to do whatever they have to do. But that's why you're seeing the Ivy and the Patriot and countless other leagues say, we can't deal with it right now. Maybe spring, maybe never, but not right now. So I understand what O said in spirit. He meant well, but at some point you have to draw the line on safety.
Paul, thank you so much for giving us time. Please enjoy the rest of your weekend, okay?
It was a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
It's Under the Hood. Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Time for Tales from the Hood. Stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. And the executive producer of Under the Hood is Eric Ostrowski. And Eric already gave us Tales from the Hood back on the 16th of July on his Twitter feed. And I said, you know, would you just put out there? Yeah, we need to bring that to the show. So what do you have?
So as listeners know, we love maps of the U.S. where each little state, it's like Halloween candy for each state and all that. Well, one popped up on my timeline, and it is the most common fetishes per state.
Yes. All right.
It's like I don't even know where to start with this.
Well, start home first, and then we okay. work our way out.
In Illinois, we're actually pretty vanilla when it comes to the rest of the country. In Illinois, the most common fetish is role play. So a little nurse outfit, I'm the patient, all that stuff.
A little farmer outfit, maybe? A little farmer in the dell, if you pardon the expression.
There we go.
Okay, Indiana and Nevada have something in common, do they not?
I don't even know how this is a fetish. All it says is armpits. For Nevada and Indiana, their most common fetish is armpits.
Okay. So let's break this down. Eric, does that mean that people are into each other's armpits or having sex with armpits?
I think it's the latter, but I'm not. Maybe it's the smell. Maybe they really like none of it is appeasing to me. So I can't even begin to think. What a fetish with armpits. I mean, I guess I could surmise that it would be having sex with armpits. I don't know. I don't even like saying that. I really don't.
What do you get out of that? So
B.O.
Yeah, exactly. Is that the equivalent of putting your hand in your armpit and making a sound?
Oh, see, that's...
is that a thing?
What if it makes that sound?
Is that what it is now? It's like,
oh my god!
Do that again, baby. Like, that's so strange. Like, you're doing something with armpits for sure. I don't know what it is though.
And I wonder, like, I would hope it's the girls' armpits because guys are hairier and smellier.
Some women are into that.
Yes, apparently.
Wisconsin is, does it say sports game?
Yeah, what? Are they that in love with Favre and Rodgers that they just put on a Favre jersey and let's go?
Okay, all right. There was a time where you looked at a woman with a Hawks sweater or with a basketball jersey and thought she was kind of hot, right? Because she wore some kind of sports gear, right?
I'll say I've always thought it was attractive when girls wear a hat. If they can pull off a hat, then that means they're an attractive, good-looking woman.
But turn backwards or to the side. Usually to the side, that works for me. If it's banged to the side.
It depends on the person. It depends on the girl. However she can pull it off. But maybe, I don't know.
Sports gear, though.
I know, like, let me get my girdle on. I'm ready, baby. Let's go.
Hey, do me a favor. Put on that Packers jersey. You know your hat when you have the Packers jersey and you've got the black belt around your waist. You know I'm a big fan.
You play center. I'll play quarterback. Let's go.
I can only get it done if you would wear a Packers jersey. I mean, put on the Rodgers.
Yeah, if it doesn't say Rodgers, I'm not getting there, man.
So... what else do we have here that was
so
weird?
Okay,
so Washington's... no, go ahead. I was west and you were east.
Yeah, we did. So West Virginia and Pennsylvania. Again, this is one that's over my head. It just says balloons. So I don't know if that's sucking helium and talking dirty in a high-pitched voice. I don't know what a balloon could be.
You know what? I don't... that's over my head. I don't know how a fetish... how balloons could be a fetish.
I have no idea.
Balloons doing what to in a balloon?
No, I don't know. Like, I know that's how people smuggle drugs. So maybe it's some sort of balloon up the butt thing? I don't
part
know.
Of the expression. A balloon up the butt. So I'm out west here because we get the common ones like Washington State is into gagging. Gagging is a fetish. Used underwear
that
in Oregon.
That's disgusting.
Is that yeah, it's
yes,
Oregon.
That's Oregon. Used underwear. Dirty used underwear.
Some are into that, man.
I mean, makes more sense than armpits to me.
I want you to work out real good. And then, oh, so good when you work out. Like the smell of underwear, used underwear. Idaho's into erotic electrostimulation.
All right. I mean, maybe.
What do you mean, all right? What do you mean, all right? What does that mean?
A little electric shock therapy, if you may.
Montana is into sadism. There's bondage up there in the
Wyoming,
west as well.
Yeah. All the Wyoming people.
Okay, so California is wax play.
I'm assuming that means like candle wax, pouring candle wax on people. I'm guessing.
Oh, God. No, I can't do that.
No, I mean, again, where's the pleasure in that?
Wax play. That's nasty. No,
that's
harsh.
Madame Tussauds is in California, so maybe people are taking advantage of the wax figures. I don't know.
We swing over. I feel like we're weathermen here. We swing over to Arizona and New Mexico. Arizona's up into latex, and New Mexico's into chastity belts.
Now, a chastity belt is one that, like, doesn't allow you access, right? If I remember right. Isn't it kind of like a lock and key on the underwear?
That is correct.
So why is that a fetish? They like being blocked at all times?
I don't know. I never... did I see a chastity belt on Breaking Bad? Because they were based in New Mexico. I don't remember seeing that.
Walt was into some stuff, too.
Better Call Saul. Was there a chastity belt? I don't believe Saul... anyway. Whipping is in Texas, of course.
Yeah, I mean, they all have whips for their cows and their horses.
Let me see what else.
I don't know what this is. For Oklahoma, impact play. That's is that violent? Are we getting violent together?
I don't know. I just tweeted at Jim Ross. He's in Norman right now. I should ask JR, hey, what's impact play? Impact play, let me tell you, this is what you do. You put the one leg up.
He's got a detailed description.
It's just like, I don't know. I just tweeted at Jim Ross. I should ask him. What is impact play sexually? Could you tell me this? What is going on in Michigan? That's a humiliation.
That is the humiliation. Just talk bad about me. Tell me how little it is and how fat I am.
Oh.
Right? Is that like that depressive a state up there?
Oh. God.
Humiliate me, baby.
I'm disgusting. I'm disgusting. Look at me. I'm disgusting. Tell me I'm disgusting. Like, what? Humiliation. Like, Twitter would be much cheaper.
Yeah.
Than...
they can't go on Twitter because their pants are just sopping wet.
Oh, God. So what's going on in Ohio? It says, and again, if you're just joining us, the common fetishes per state on Tales from the Hood. We got role play in Illinois, armpits in Indiana, and in Nevada. Uniforms, Ohio.
So that would, I'm assuming, like dressing up like a cop or a soldier. I would assume anyone in uniform. I've heard that one before. I've heard like women are attracted to men in uniform. To me, that's role play, though, right?
Yeah. I don't think I would ever do that. That's too lazy for all that.
No, now I got to go buy the uniform. Oh, it doesn't fit. I got to go return the uniform.
Out in New England, foot fetish. And I get that. I mean, Rex Ryan's into that. He's
people,
on the record.
Like yep.
Yeah. He laughs at himself.
I know.
Yeah.
He does.
He's into his wife's feet. That's fine.
New Hampshire. I don't know what that one is.
What's that?
Sounding.
Sounding.
So the audio of sex like that. Is it that? Sounding.
That's, I don't know what that is.
I don't know. They're in the woods there, so maybe they like bears growling. What is sounding?
I don't know. Could you tell me what this is? I'm looking at this. See, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. So that's Alabama. Does that say yoni egg?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Maybe a toy of some sort.
Oh.
I don't. That's my guess, but I don't know what that is.
You know what? I know exactly what that is. Actually, I didn't know that's what it was called, but now I know what that is.
Florida is surprisingly tame.
Piercings.
Yeah. I figured it'd be something way out there, like dogs or something.
And lastly, let's see. Is that Pennsylvania with leather?
That's New York.
New York.
New York with leather?
Yeah.
All right, fine. That's just too hot for me. I need something that breathes. I need something that breathes.
This is just unbelievable. What do we have up here? Is that, see, we don't have the actual state names. I'm just
arrows pointing.
Yeah. Someone's got nylons up there. Is that Rhode Island? What is that up there? What's it?
I can't tell where it's either that or Massachusetts. Nylons, huh? Like long stockings?
Of course.
Okay. That seems like something from 1940.
Hey, baby, there. Red Sox just won. Put on your nylons. Oh, God, you look so hot in your nylons there.
Like, oh, God. Thanks, Tommy. Tommy boy. Loves his nylons.
Yes.
And that. One other one.
Yep.
That's not Kentucky. No, I think that's Kentucky. Scene play?
I don't know what that is.
Kentucky?
Yeah, that's Kentucky. Scene play. To me, that's role playing again, but a whole drawn out scene. They have to script it. They got lines.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. I think it's lines of a movie.
The first like 3 minutes to every porn. You see, Alaska's down there. We can't say that one.
You can't say that one.
Let's just say the whole hand. A whole state's into that one.
That's so. I looked at that and just shielded my eyes.
I know.
It's like, really, you're into that? The whole hand, huh?
Don't stop at the wrist.
Oh my God, that's so strange. Like, really? I didn't notice that when I was in Alaska. I didn't notice that when I was in Fairbanks. And by the way, is that the? Gosh, it looks like North Carolina. What's this with the suits?
So Tennessee and North Carolina.
Yeah.
Apparently, they like a well-dressed man in a tux. Or like a Hillary Clinton suit.
Or a nice pants woman.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
In suits.
Yeah. How many Tennesseans own a nice suit?
I just think it's weird. I think the guys want the women in suits. Like a full suit.
Man,
for role play,
I guess, and then humiliate them if you're in Michigan. Same time.
That is Tales from the Hood. Before we're kicked off here, right here on ESPN 1000. By the way, if you're just wondering, North Dakota, South Dakota is into group sex, and so is Iowa. If you're just wondering, group sex.
There's not much to do out there, so they kind of hang out together.
I have to find out about this impact play and this edge play.
Agreed.
Edge play is Minnesota, by the way.
I know what that is. That's getting right to the point and then stopping.
Oh,
and then stopping.
Edging?
Yep.
Oh, that's nonsense.
There and then stopping.
Oh, that's nonsense.
That sounds like no fun.
No. Come on, Minnesota.
It's like
Minnesota.
Going to the tailgate, but not the game.
I am almost there, but I'm not going there.
Just like, can't do it.
Twins game is on, so we're just going to do a little. What? Be better, Skull. Be better. Tales from the Hood, right here, ESPN 1000.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Follow on Twitter at TweetJHood.
Oh, man. Well, Eric, We have learned some things over the during the break here.
Yeah, our research team came back with some answers.
Oh, some stuff. You have to lurk it up. We found out what sounding is, and that is tough. So we were looking at a chart of the most common fetishes per state, and boy, it's a couple of those things are really interesting and odd.
And painful.
Okay. How about this story? My cousin put this out on Facebook. A police issue warrant for a Louisiana woman who's 29 who shot her boyfriend because he refused to argue with her. So, Genalicia Lawrence, police have issued a warrant for the 29-year-old Genalicia Lawrence. She's been charged with attempted second-degree murder. She's accused of shooting her estranged boyfriend because he allegedly refused to argue with her around 7:30 on Saturday morning in Shreveport, Louisiana. Shreveport police found a 34-year-old man suffering from a gunshot wound upon arriving to the scene. He's in critical condition. Lawrence may have fled to Dallas, where she's from. But that is the story, that a warrant has been out for this woman because the husband or the boyfriend did not want to argue with her.
She needs to sign up for some, like, MMA classes or something.
I mean,
she's got that much anger inside her.
Wow. All right. I mean, these are stories that just come across here. They're just amazing. It's just anyway, we're keeping our eyes on the Cubs and White Sox as well. And don't forget, the baseball show takes place at 6 o'clock tomorrow and every night after Waddle and Sylvia right here on ESPN. 1,000. The Sox are in the lead 5-0 as we sign off here at the top of the seventh inning. And boy, what a display of power from Eloy Jimenez and off of Yu Darvish. And by the way, here's a topic for tomorrow. I know it's just a practice game, but the idea that the Cubs waved the white flag and would not allow Darvish to finish that frame. What's that now? What's the mercy rule there? What's that all about?
That's Little League baseball, is what that is.
No, finish the frame like a man. What is this? What is this? 5 runs, that's enough. If you're going to pull him. But that's not what happened. What happened was is that they said, we're not going to finish the frame, and then the inning was just over.
They ended the inning with 2 outs. Just, Darvish, you'll get him next inning.
Wait a minute. And he settled down nicely after that, but that's not the point. The point is that that's not what I expected. That's not what I expected. So I just thought that was very odd.
Keuchel had a really good outing. He went 5 innings, 1 hit, only 55 pitches.
That, you know, one of the things that I've talked about a lot, and I know you're tired of me saying this, but I got to say one more time for maybe some of our new listeners, is it was important as the Sox kicked the ball around and they stopped focusing after being up 5-0. That defense looks bad. It was important for the White Sox to be able to find their John Lester. Remember, the Cubs, I can make this statement, the Cubs probably don't win the World Series without John Lester. I think that's, without hedging, I'll say that Lester was the linchpin to all of this. And so in 2015, Lester could have went anywhere, but he trusted Theo Epstein. And so he comes to the Cubs, and he was the beginning of the winning. He was the number one starter on that team. And the Cubs ended up winning the World Series. But just like the same thing with Dallas Keuchel, it's a 3-year deal, sure. And sure, Giolito's already there, but you have to have aces in the starting rotation that you can depend on, that can go long for you. And I think that Keuchel could be that same guy for this White Sox team. If not this year, definitely for the future.
Real quick, this just came across the timeline from Ben Fox, who does the gambling for ESPN.
Yeah.
Right now, at the White Sox 20-1 World Series odds, the most bets in Vegas for World Series winner has been on the White Sox 20-1 now.
That's crazy.
That's hard to think that we're there now.
We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Thanks to Nick Friedel and Paul Feinbaum for being with us. Eric Ostrowski on the other side of the glass. Let's do this tomorrow, starting at 6 with the baseball show, then Under the Hood at 7, right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.